Wonderful songs of assurance this morning, weren't they? Leaning on the everlasting arms. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. What great hymns. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. We have a wonderful Savior this morning. Turn in their Bibles to Exodus chapter 11. And this morning we're going to kind of slow down the train this Sunday. We've been flying through the last four chapters and the nine plagues. This morning we're just going to look at 10 verses, okay, in all of 40 minutes. So we're just going to slow down the train and let's try to maybe enjoy the passage and enjoy some of the teaching here from God's word this morning. Exodus chapter 11 and verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go from here. When he lets you go, he will surely drive you out of here altogether. Speak now in the hearing of the people, and let every man ask from his neighbor and every woman from her neighbor articles of silver and articles of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt. That's quite different than a few chapters earlier, isn't it? When he was despised by his own people, even. The man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. Then Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight I will go out into the midst of Egypt. And all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the female servant who is behind the handmill, and all the firstborn of the animals. Then there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as it was not like it before, nor shall be like it again. But against none of the children of Israel shall a dog move its tongue, against man nor beast, that ye may know that the Lord does make a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And all of these your servants shall come down to me and bow down to me, saying, get out, and all the people who follow you. After that I will go out. Then he went out from Pharaoh in great anger. But the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh will not heed you, so that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. So Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh. And the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the children of Israel go out of the land. The Lord will add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that we can lean upon your everlasting arms. We thank you for the confidence that we can have in you this morning. We thank you for the confidence we can have in your word. And we pray for your help here this morning, Lord. You know the needs amongst your people, both online and those that are here with us. Father, you know our doubts, you know our insecurities, you know our weariness, you know, Father, how often we want to quit. And Father, we also pray for any who do not know you this morning, Lord, that the seed of your word would be planted in their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So we could say the preparation here for the final plague. There's our man Moses with his rod, and that rod was not just Moses' rod, was it? That was the rod of God. And so we have a little outline here, but I didn't fill it all in this morning. Just kind of trying to keep you sharp, okay? And so we have in these first 18 chapters that we're dealing with, the liberation of God's people. Now, can anybody tell me what should fill in that slot there? That first slot, that empty slot, the blank of God. Thank you. The hand of God. And it's all through these first 18 chapters, the hand of God is evident in watching over and delivering his people. Then we had separation in chapters 19 through 24. And anybody remember that one? Very good. The holiness of God. And then lastly, habitation. We're going to get into the tabernacle. And tabernacle and H is the what of God? Very good. The house of God. Thank you. So, this morning we want to look at this first section in verses 1 through 3. But, you know, here we are approaching, we're approaching the apex of the conflict. And it's kind of like numerous conflicts going on here. There is the conflict, obviously, between Pharaoh and Moses. That is the very first conflict, isn't it, between Pharaoh and Moses. But then there is the conflict that's going on between the Egyptians and the Israeli people. And then thirdly, there is the conflict going on between God and the forces of darkness. We're reminded in Ephesians 6, aren't we? Finally, my brethren, be strong, what? In the Lord and in the power of his might. Why? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world. There is a spiritual conflict that we are engulfed in every day and every moment. And even as God's word is preached right now, there is a conflict in the souls of men and women and boys and girls, right? For you to live for Christ and to follow him. And there is this everyday battle that we constantly face. The Lord God has been punishing Pharaoh in these last two Sundays, in these last four chapters, with one incredible judgment after another. It just keeps coming and pouring it on, and Pharaoh keeps resisting God. And the Lord God is showing Pharaoh and the Egyptians that he is the Almighty, the all-powerful God of the universe, in control over all mankind and all nature. There's a couple of verses here that just came to mind that I thought were good. Nehemiah 9 and verse 6 says, "You are the Lord, you alone. You made the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all that is in it, the seas and all that is in them. You preserve all of them. The host of heaven worships you." God is trying to teach Pharaoh, I alone am God. And all of these gods that you worship are dead and have no power and no influence. Psalm 66 and verse 4 says, "All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name." And Psalm 19 says, "The earth, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork." So we want to touch on a couple things here this morning in this little section. These first three verses are like a little parentheses that join chapter 10 to chapter 11, verse 4. And here we have a kind of cool picture of some silver and gold, and we're going to get into that in a minute and the significance of that. But first of all, we have God fulfilling his promises. And it's interesting, as you study these 7, 8, 9 chapters from chapter 3 onward, God is constantly reminding his people that he is fulfilling his promises. And you know what? We need to be constantly reminded, don't we? "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth." God has grace for your life each and every day. He has promised to take care of you and supply your needs. And what do? We constantly forget, and we need to be constantly reminded, don't we? We easily forget God's promises. So, in Exodus 3 and verse 20, this was what God said, "I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all the wonders that I will do in it, and after that, he will let you go." Just remember Moses, just remember the children of Israel. He hasn't let you go yet, but he is going to let you go. He's going to let you go. Actually, he is going to come to a point of not just letting you go, it says in the passage, but he is going to thrust you out. He is going to drive you out of the land when I'm finally done with him with this final judgment. Secondly, God's provision. Now, this is a really interesting little section we're going to spend a few minutes on here. We see silver and gold and jewelry and stuff here. And it says here in Exodus 3, 21 and 22, I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and when you go, you shall not go empty. Now, how is this really possible? Think of them. They're slaves, right? They're slaves. They're not getting paid what they're worth. They don't have any place to store anything or keep anything. They're slaves to their taskmasters. And they've been slaves for a long time. But God is going to look after them. And it says, when you go, you shall not go empty. Every woman may ask of her neighbor, any woman who lives in her house, for silver and gold jewelry, for clothing. You shall put them on your sons and your daughters, and you shall plunder them. Now, if we go back to Genesis 15, there's the same promise here again. Many, many years earlier, approximately 400 years earlier, same promise. The Lord said to Abraham, know for certain your offspring will be sojourners in a land that's not yours, and your servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. I will bring judgment on the nation. Afterwards, they shall come out with great possessions. It's interesting that this was emphasized several times to God's people. It says in Psalm 105, this is obviously afterwards, he brought Israel out with silver and gold. He brought Israel out with silver and gold. So, you know, God has given us promises. God gave the people in Hebrews 11 a lot of promises, didn't he? There's Abraham. He was given promises. And you know what it says of Abraham? Abraham, it says in Hebrews 11, he waited for the city which had foundations. Now, he wasn't going to get to that city while he was here on earth, was he? It says of Abraham and the patriarchs, they seek a homeland that is a better heavenly country, because God has prepared a city for them. As believers, we cannot forget that this is not the end game down here. We are not going to get what we deserve down here on this planet. The Israelites did not get what they deserved all those years. Now, they rewarded eventually. But I got thinking, you know, it says of Moses in Hebrews 11, he considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. How could that be? Here's this guy, and he's got everything, folks. He's got a Harvard education for free. He's got access to all the wealth of Egypt. And everything that this world could offer, opportunity, power, influence, the best of food that he could possibly have at his command as the son of Pharaoh. But he considered the suffering of following Christ greater wealth than all that, because he was looking to the reward. And we cannot forget the end goal, can we? We cannot afford to forget the end goal. Because down here, it's never going to work itself out right, is it? No matter how good it is, it never works itself out right. But Jesus said, to lay up in Matthew 6, what? Your treasures in heaven. There's a better day coming, folks. There is a much better day coming when we are going to enter into eternity. And we are going to enter into life eternal forever with Christ, our reward. Paul said in Philippians 3 and verse 7, whatever gain I had. Now, he had a lot of gain. This guy, again, he was high up in the Israeli religious system. Power. He had power. He was highly educated. He was highly respected. He lived a blameless and righteous life according to the law. But he said, you know, the things that were gain to me, I counted those as loss for following Christ. So then, it goes on here in verse 3, the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. The Lord gave the people favor. He gave them grace. We need grace, don't we? You need grace today. Do you need grace right now? Do you know that's available, that God's matchless grace is available to you right at this very moment? You can call out to him right now and say, Lord, I need grace for this Christian life. I need grace in my marriage. I need grace raising my children. I need grace in my job. Or maybe I need a job. God, I need your favor. God gave these people favor in the middle of tremendous crises. He gave them great favor. And so these three little verses here encompass kind of like a little set of brackets, okay, in the first part of this section of chapter 11. So then we come to verse 4. And this is a proclamation between Moses and Pharaoh. Now, verse 4 says, thus saith the Lord, note this little thought, about midnight I will go out into the land. You know, the famous sun god of Egypt, his name was Aten, A-T-E-N. And they had a hymn that was written to him. And one commentator has summarized it as this: the hymn of the sun god talks about the dread of the night. Now, this is the hymn to their sun god, okay? Speaks about the dread of the night because their sun god at night departed to the underworld and was not available to protect his people. So the sun god at night in their religion departed to the underworld and was not available to protect the people. Their God left them at night with no protection. Isn't it interesting that God said, I'm going to come in the middle of the night. And that's when your firstborn are going to die. And you know, I just got thinking of that wonderful little psalm. Here's a wonderful little psalm we have. Psalm 121 says, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Better put, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. My help doesn't come from the God of those hills, because those people in those days believed that the hills were filled with gods. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. Where does my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you, here it is, he who keeps you will not slumber. Do you know that a lot of times the biggest struggle of life is in the middle of the night? Even for believers, right? When you're tossing and turning and the anxieties of life and the struggles that go on often are worse, aren't they? In the middle of the night. How many people have not tossed and turned all night as they worried about a loved one or a struggle or a difficulty or a challenge? And it just seems like the night is the worst time, doesn't it? But you know what? We have a God who never goes to sleep. Isn't that wonderful? He is on 24-hour care. He is on 24-hour watch. Even when you can't watch maybe a sick child or a sick spouse or a sick elderly person in your family, even when you can't keep it up, we have Jehovah God. It says, he who keeps Israel, what? He will neither slumber nor sleep. You can call upon him any time of the day, any time of the night. Our God is there. It's wonderful. It's a tremendous comfort for us that our God is always there. There's this wonderful little hymn I was just thinking about when it came to this, called "Till the Storm Passes By." In the dark of the midnight, how I oft hid my face, while the storms howl around me, and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Many times Satan whispered, there is no use to try. There's no end of sorrow. There's no hope in the by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise where the storms never darken the sky. We have an anchor, folks. We just sang. We have an anchor that keeps the soul through the storms and the challenges and the difficulties of life. We have God. And you know, our prayer here this morning is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You need Him. Everybody needs Him. So we come to, there's the timing. Then there's the tragedy. I will go out, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. Wow. Death. What a warning. What a judgment. And it's interesting here, it's the death from the most influential, highest official was not spared. That was Pharaoh, the firstborn of Pharaoh. Down to the very lowest of the servants of Pharaoh. And even to their animals. And you say, well, why did the firstborn of the animals have to die? Well, because Egypt gave divine characteristics to animals. Isn't that interesting? They gave divine characteristics to animals. And so the animals also, the firstborn of the animals would die. And you know, when it comes to this whole section of tragedy, death is real, isn't it? Like, death is real. I flipped up to CBC PEI yesterday. 29-year-old man down east hit by a potato truck, or he hit the potato truck, whatever. Gone. Just like that. He had no intentions that day of leaving this earth. Noah came to me yesterday and he said, did you hear about the NFL player? 24 years old, walking across the interstate after working out with the NFL football team in Fort Lauderdale, walks across the interstate, dead, hit, gone, 24 years old. So death is just not for the elderly. Death is a judgment on all. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, Ezekiel says, it shall die. Well, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And as is appointed unto man once to die, then what? After death, the judgment. So there was this great tragedy. There was going to be a great tragedy. Verse 6 says there's going to be terror. There's going to be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt. There was never a cry like this, and there'll never be another cry like this, it is said. It was going to be so bad. So much pain, so much suffering. It's interesting here. These people were going to, when they woke up in the morning and the firstborn son was dead, and there was a great cry. That's the exact same word in the Hebrew in earlier chapters when God heard the cry of his people. But their gods would not hear the cries of their people, would they? Because their gods are false gods. Their gods are dead gods. I love the story in 1 Kings 18 of Elijah, right? And he gets all those false prophets up there on Mount Carmel, right? And you can just envision there's 800 false prophets up there roughly. And he stands there and he says, all right, guys, we are going to determine today who is the true and living God. We are going to get this straight here today. So you've got your altar over there and you've got all your religious forms that you do. And so you start crying out to your God. And they cried for hours. They slashed their arms. They cried out to their God. And what did he do? He mocked them. Oh, one of your gods must be on vacation today. Well, that's kind of too bad. Maybe if you call a little louder, maybe they'll hear you. And here was the sad commentary after those false prophets for hours. Can you imagine for hours on the top of a mountain crying out to false gods that God would send down fire from heaven to consume the altar? And it says there was no one to hear them. That's a sad commentary, isn't it? Of religion. Sad commentary of the false gods of Egypt. There was no one to hear their cry. But it says in Exodus chapter 3 that God heard the cries of his people. And God hears your cry today. He hears the cries of your heart. Sometimes not even spoken. And he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all he could ask or think. You know, it says in Hebrews 10 and verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the many false deities. Doesn't say that, does it? It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. One commentator put it this way, this 10th plague would be a foreshadowing of the final victory of Jehovah over Satan on the cross. With the difference being that the firstborn who would die on the cross would be God's only begotten Son. For God, what, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the firstborn of all creation, would bear on the cross. Thank you, Dave. Would bear on the cross your sin and my sin. So we have the timing, the tragedy, the terror, the triumph in verses 7 through 8 here. This is a neat little section. I kind of glanced over it and I kind of didn't really think a whole lot of it, but it says, against none of Israel shall a dog move its tongue, against man their beasts. Now, here's the thought. A lot of you folks got dogs at home, right? A lot of you young people got dogs at home, and your dog's sitting in the living room, right? And you guys may be watching TV, and somebody could walk across the front or the back of the house, and what's the dog do? He goes, rawr. And you're kind of like, I wonder who's out there. I wonder who's out there, right? And you go out, and the dog's going, because there's a predator maybe, or maybe someone's just walking close to the house. That dog senses danger. Now, here's the incredible thought that God, Jehovah, is going to judge the Egyptians with the death of the firstborn. And over in Goshen, there's not even a dog that's going to growl. And you know what that reminds me of? God's incredible protection of his people. Isn't that amazing? That judgment could be so, so nearby, and yet God's people are safe and protected, and there's not even the growl of a puppy dog. There's not even the sense that there's a problem. You know, it says in God's word, what? Be anxious, what? For nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Do you have something that's weighing on you? that you need to take to the Lord? You know, he is able. He is able, my friend, to look after you and to keep you and to protect you. He is able to do that. It says here that you may know that the Lord makes a difference between Egypt and Israel. I got thinking, you know, like sometimes we just don't put this in a sense of how powerful it must have been that all the people who lived in Stratford, they just got pulverized with a hailstorm. They just got pulverized with hours of days of darkness. They just got pulverized with all of these plagues. And on the other side of the river, people are just carrying on as if nothing ever happened. And God is saying here, I do make a difference between those who follow me and those who don't. There is a definite distinction. So then we come to verse 8. All the servants shall come down and bow to me. That's quite a thing. That's quite a thing. That the servants of Pharaoh were going to bow down before Moses and literally plead with Moses to get out of the land. You are too powerful for us. You are too mighty for us. And they are going to get down on their knees and beg Moses. There's a day coming, isn't there? That's just a little foreshadowing, isn't there? Moses is a foreshadowing there of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a day coming when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that what? That Jesus Christ is Lord, right? That he is Lord, that he is King of kings and Lord of lords. So then we come lastly to Pharaoh's pride. Pride between Pharaoh and the Lord. Oh, this guy's heart. He was hard. But he made it that way. Pharaoh will not heed you, so my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. What is it that keeps people from God? It's very simply self, isn't it? It's very simple. It's pride, isn't it? So first of all, what is it that keeps believers from getting the help they need? Well, Peter talks about it. He says, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Now he's speaking to the believer there. God resists the proud. And maybe sometimes we go through times in our Christian lives where we're just doggone stuck, you know that? But boys, oh boys, we are can be almost as bullheaded and as Pharaoh, and we can have pride, and we do not want to humble ourselves and get right before God and get the help that we need and the grace we need. We are going to do it our way. And God resists the proud, it says. He blocks the way of the proud. He makes their way difficult and challenging, like walking through mud. Right? And you wonder what's wrong. And it's like because you refuse the help that he offers. And then maybe you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You are determined that your way is good enough. I don't need to get right with God eternal because I haven't offended him anyway. And I have no interest in bowing to this God you talk about this morning. Well, there's going to come a day where it's going to happen one way or the other. You can respond to him in this day of grace of which we have the opportunity. This is the day of grace. This is the opportunity. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And Pharaoh refused to humble himself and judgment fell upon that man. And you know, this morning it says that he who believes is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already. Where do you stand this morning before God? Are you under his condemnation? Have you refused his grace that he freely and willingly offers to you through his Son, Jesus Christ? It's available to all, isn't it? Whosoever will may come is the message of the gospel. And this morning, it's our heart's desire that you would bow your will to Christ. You would say, I'm a lost sinner. I am helpless. I cannot save myself. I'm going to hell. I'm an enemy of God. And I need to get right with God today. Not next week, not next month. Today is the day of salvation. There's nowhere in God's word that says get saved tomorrow. It's always get saved today. Today is the day you need to get right with God. And there is an urgency, my friend, because you could be that 24-year-old NFL quarterback with a $1 million contract, and everything is perfect, isn't it? Life is pretty good. Everybody people see me on TV all around the world. I've got influence. I've got a really nice car, a great house, and a big future in front of me. And gone. Just like that. Gone into eternity. So today is the day. And if you're not right with God, believer, and you're not walking with him, and you've got stuff going on, maybe it's a relationship with another brother or sister in Christ, maybe it's in your marriage, maybe it's with your children, maybe it's at work, maybe it's in your thought life, you need to get right with God this morning as well. Right here, right now, in this place, you need to bow your head and call out to him for grace and forgiveness, and talk to a brother or sister afterwards that you can trust about your need. Because God puts us in the body, right? Why does he give us the body? Just so we can have a big high five and have coffee together? I don't think so. Because we desperately need one another to follow him. He gave us each other. We're a gift to each other. And we need. So I think just in closing, we're going to sing a closing number this morning. Get wrapped up here early. Number 62. Number 62. A hymn of invitation. A wonderful, simple hymn. And after Jenna does the introduction, we'll rise and stretch and we'll sing all five verses. And you know, there's nothing stopping you from getting right with God right now. Absolutely nothing stopping you with getting right with God right now. In this place, in the quietness of your heart, you can get right with God this morning. Number 62. Sorry, Franklin.
you. We can echo these words, yea, all I need in thee I find. And oh, Father, we thank you that you are the living God, that you are the mighty one, and you are the one that hears the cries of your people. And Father, we also know that you hear the cries of those who don't know you, who cry out for repentance, who cry out for forgiveness, who cry out in their need and say, Lord, please be merciful to me, a sinner. So, Father, we just thank you. We thank you this morning, Lord, that you will receive anyone who comes to you and believes in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, just take us home in safety. We pray, Father, that the solemnness of the message would echo in our hearts, Father, throughout the day. In Jesus' name. Amen.